Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? Then you've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and join our Patreon for just $2 a month where you get exclusive episodes. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Welcome to another episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
And this is Long.
you normally wait for Matt, but Matt's not here tonight. And last minute guest on the show, man. Welcome back, Rob, to the show. What is up, man?
I am here. And, nations, humans.
You are here. For those who may not remember, Rob came on and did our 100th film with us back in January when we did Saving Private Ryan. And a lot has happened since January, that's for sure.
Shit, yeah.
I mean, the world is a completely different place in August of 2020 than it was in January. But that being said, we're still podcasting, doing our thing. I know, Rob, you're always doing your thing. I see all your videos, and man, you're getting into Twitch streaming now, and you're doing all, you're staying very busy.
It's fucking headache is what it is.
but you choose to do it, so.
I can't compete with all these damn youngsters.
I'm telling you, man.
They got damn on their Twitch streams, you get them a freaking like or some shit, and their heads turn into robots, and freaking shit fall from the screen and turn into coins like Sonic or some shit. Man, I can't compete with that. Mm-hmm. I'm getting my ass whipped in OG Def Jam and shit.
Yeah, man, these kids, man, the way my son plays games and stuff, I'm like, I need to set you up a Twitch channel. You need to start making this family some money, you know? And it is a whole nother world, you know?
It is, because, I mean, I've sat there and watched a couple as research, and I'm like, you got, like, 800 followers, and then like every other 5 minutes and shit, somebody's dropping to subscribe to their channels or whatever. So I mean, when you subscribe on Twitch, you have to pay for that. And when you follow somebody, that's free. But if you subscribe or you give them bits or whatever the fuck they called, you got to pay for that. Now I'm just like, they counters and they screens are just lighting up with notifications talking about new subscriber bits and all this other crap, and I'm just like, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're just sitting there saying a whole bunch of shit, but whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard you sacrifice a lot of personal time doing that. You know? Yeah,
exactly, man. There's one particular streamer that I watch, you know, most recently since I started doing research, and his name is Nutty.
Mm-hmm.
He is a Filipino man in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that's just mind-boggling in its own right. But damn, yeah. I get up for work every morning at 5:45. So I'll be at work about 7, and shortly thereafter, he's starting to stream. So 7 o'clock our time, I believe, is like midnight or after his time.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll stay on for at least 5 hours of my shift and then go to work after that. So he don't get off the stream till like almost 5 in the morning, then 2 hours later, you're going to work.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Dedication to his craft, I guess.
No. And like the minimum amount of hours that I've seen just like going across streams, looking at people's profiles, because usually they have the time of past streams on there. The average for, a consistent Twitch streamer is like 6 hours.
Yeah.
And I can see how that can happen if you're playing one, depending on the game that you're playing. Because, like, I'll play Def Jam or whatever, like I've been doing. I played the story mode most recently. And every stream that I've done wind up being, like, close to 2 hours. And it would have been more than that if I wasn't looking down at my clock. Because I am an old man and I have responsibilities. I'm not like one of these young cats that don't do shit but stream. So I was like, oh, shit. It's too late. I gotta go to sleep. I'm gonna see y'all tomorrow, whenever the fuck I get back home.
Well, that's it, Rob. You just have to you have to dedicate a few more hours a day.
What I'm trying to do is perfect the process. So, I mean, it's like anything that I try to put together. Like, I got the Discord going now. I got, you know, the Twitch shit going now. What I'm trying to do is perfect the process, get a decent enough community so I can slide the hell out and hand it off to one of the kids or some shit, so I ain't got to fuck with it no more. Because they like to play games more than I do, and they know more about games than I do, you know,
right,
current shit or whatever. So if I could set up a good base for them, I'd just alley-oop that shit, and they can dunk it, and I just, you know, they have a space in here to use.
Right. Yep. Yeah. I just set up a Discord. I'm not really sure what to do with it yet, but I'm trying to learn to see if it has its uses.
Well, I mean, it's cool if you have the participation. I mean, I got a couple people in there. I got like 20 people in it, but, you know, if you ain't really got too much to say or content to put in, it's like Twitter or anywhere else. But I mean, it's a private server for, you know, whoever you invite. But there's a lot of cool features which are bot driven. So there's like different bots that you can put into Discord to kind of moderate your server for you. It can identify keywords and trigger certain actions. Because like if you go on my server for Discord, and anytime you use the word random, you get a whole bunch of emoticons on your comment, no matter where you say it. It doesn't matter if you say the word individually or in a sentence. Anytime you say random, you get a whole bunch of smiley faces and shit on your comments. You can even do it where, like, if somebody put random, like, yo, man, let's watch this random video, and it'll send a custom message to that person. Be like, ah, Pee-wee's Playhouse, you said the secret word and shit. You can play music in there. All kinds of crazy.
Yeah, like I said, I just kind of set it up and was kind of looking to see what it could do. So I'm going to have to sit down and play around with it a little bit more.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can actually sit down and play around with it if you want to. Because, I mean, you could do voice chat to where you can add video to it as well. So you can see and hear each other in there. It's like your own little private chat server. So you can play with some things in there if you want to.
Yeah. I used to have Discord, but I found out that Discord has a ton of access to your computer files, you know, and I'm like, I don't like Discord having that kind of access to my computer, so I uninstalled it, you know.
Well, see, this is the thing, though. Everything has access to your computer files.
Yeah, I know.
This has access to our computer files. Your phone, goddamn, your Wi-Fi router, everything.
I mean,
and everybody's like, oh man, I ain't doing this because they're gonna stick a chip in me and they're gonna track me. Goddamn.
Yeah.
Look, if they want you, they can get you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and on that note, let's go to download this.
Yeah. Well, it looks like I got to finish the show. I'm being tracked.
Yeah.
We know where you live, Long.
Right.
But yeah, we do usually officially start the show with a download this, where we tell each other what we watched, streamed in some cases, like Twitch streaming and video games we played lately. So what have you been watching? Rob, and playing, what have you been up to lately?
Well, since I've been doing the Twitch stream, and all I've been strictly playing is Def Jam Fight for New York for the original
Xbox. Oh, that's a fun game, man.
Hell yeah.
That's an original Xbox game, right? Yeah,
exactly. I mean, they had it on PlayStation 2 as well, but I own the original Xbox, so that was one of the games that I had to get when I got that console. So I've been playing on Twitch the whole story mode. I went through the whole story mode. I think I beat it 2 days ago. And it was fun. I mean, it was just like, why aren't there more of these? And why they better not be like Def Jam Icon? You know?
Yeah.
Def Jam Icon.
I don't remember that game.
It looked beautiful, but the gameplay, the buttons, they were not on the level of Fight for New York or of Vendetta. And that's what turned a lot of people off to it, because they tried to innovate it. You know what I mean? They brought it to another level as visually, and they EA did a good job with it, but they just tried to implement their own unique fighting system and everything, and that shit was trash.
Yeah, back when EA used to care about making video games.
Yeah.
But now, yeah, during that time, I used to play NBA Street Volume 2 to death.
I have that here. That's going to be another one that's going to be on the streaming docket. I want the original NBA Street because that was the introduction to Michael Jordan back into video games, you know, because he was the boss on NBA Street Volume 1 and everything. And it only came out on PlayStation 2, which I do not have, so I can't have access to that game. So I'm teetering on the verge of getting the PlayStation 2 just to have that game.
And, yeah.
And another game called Rise to Honor. It was the Jet Li game.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, vaguely.
So the games that I want, that's the two games that's driving me to almost purchase a PlayStation 2. But as far as watching, me and the wife just finished both seasons of The Umbrella Academy, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Oh, okay.
Cool. I watched the first couple episodes, and I need to go back, and I've heard it gets really good.
Yeah. It involves a lot of time travel. I mean, if you've seen one time travel show or movie, I mean, you've seen them all, but they have somewhat of an interesting take and twist on the time travel aspect of it and whatnot. Mm-hmm. It's a good show.
Yeah.
Season How about three.
How about you, Mark?
Well, I watched about half of Brightburn. The reason I say I watched half is because the kids were not wanting to go to bed. So I was like, they kept coming downstairs. I couldn't finish it. So I'm like, you know what? We're all going to bed. So it was okay. I mean, I haven't heard good things about it anyway, but I was just curious. It's, people say it's mildly entertaining. You know, of course, it's the one where there's like an evil, basically an evil Superman. This kid is like a bad version of Clark Kent. And, but I watched, it's only like an hour and 40 minutes long. And I was 45 minutes into it and like nothing happened. I'm like, is anything ever going to happen in this movie?
And, a lot of anticipation.
Yeah. So I probably will give it a chance and finish it. I watched a couple more episodes of the Transformers anime, another show that's kind of disappointing so far. It's like, this is Transformers. I want some action. And all they do is they talk a lot. I'm like, this is nice. If I want to hear Optimus Prime and Megatron talk, well, I'd watch the talk show version of the Transformers. But, yeah. You know, someone said there's a lot of action in the last two episodes. So,
yeah.
It's a lot filled up.
So did they Dragon Ball Z you is what they did?
I guess like, so. Yes. A lot of talk. Power
up like three episodes and then they'll finally fight at like the end of the season and shit.
No, I've just been playing that emulator of Star Wars Galaxies a lot still, too. That was a game I played a lot back in the early 2000s. And, of course, it went offline in 2011. And I've been playing an emulator of that, which is a really good emulator with a pretty big population for an emulator. So there's a lot of people playing it, and that's pretty fun. And, God darn it, I just felt like I haven't finished The Last Dance yet. I got a couple of episodes left. But it's still going through that. And that's been really good. I really have enjoyed that a lot.
The Last Dance?
Yeah. I've got like two episodes left to go. And
fantastic.
Man, it is really good, man. But, you know, if you view it the wrong way, man, you could really think that Michael Jordan was quite arrogant. But then you got to put yourself in his shoes. He was very arrogant. But he could back it up because he was that good. And he also, like, I guess it's hard to put ourselves in his shoes of making that kind of money and being that big of a star that it might cause a little bit of arrogance to get people to back off from you a little bit so you can still try to have a life, you know, and, but really, really well done documentary though. So I'll have that done in the next.
Did you hear that? Michael Jordan caught like the second world record, fish. He caught a swordfish or a marlin, a month or two ago. Off of North Carolina. It was like a sports fishing, and then he ended up getting the second heaviest swordfish ever caught on record. You know? Yeah, and he was really proud of it. And they had to use a crane to bring up that fish in order to weigh it, you know. It was that big, and it was like, darn it, he was so close to another sports record.
Yeah. He must have dribble drop stepped on that fish and put him in the boat.
Yeah.
Oh, and then
good enough, not his vocabulary, that's for sure.
Oh, I did start playing the PlayStation one of the free games for August was the remastered Modern Warfare 2. So I've been playing, because that's what, like, that's probably still the best Call of Duty game ever made. And it looks absolutely beautiful remastered. It's like, it's almost like playing the game brand new again. So I've been playing some of that, and that's a lot of fun. And I'm almost to that very controversial scene. Do you remember back when that came out, like the airport scene? Like they had put a thing in the, they had to put a thing in the game to ask you if you wanted to watch this or not. And I'm almost to that scene. So yeah.
No Russian.
I remember. Yeah, because that was a big, because it came out a few years after 9/11, so that was a big deal to not, to make sure that scene was okay with people. So it's kind of crazy, but a good game though. That's about it.
My download this is pretty straightforward. For some reason, I was in the mood to watch Jaws again, 1975 classic, and man, it still holds up, and I just love that movie. I could still quote that movie. And it's beautiful in HD as well. The most recent transfer they did. But yeah, Jaws is still in my top five all-time favorite movies. My personal, just one of those movies that I'll never disappoint. And I started watching a video game documentary called High Score. And that's pretty good. And
I saw it on Netflix.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. If you're a gamer and interested in video game history, I recommend it. And that's what's going on for download this. So,
word.
Yeah.
You sound so enthused, man.
Well, I'm very monotone, so yeah. I'm trying to fix that. I'm a naturally monotone person.
Get a little liquor in him and long. Get a little liquor in Long.
He gets going. I had two shots of whiskey earlier.
Damn, okay. I'm behind him.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. I need to rectify this. Hold on. Let me. I'll be right back.
Yeah. Well, Rob is getting his spirits. So yeah, I think there was something else. I started playing just a simple PC game called Slay the Spire. Mm-hmm. And it's a 2D game, and it's a turn-based action game where you pick random attack or block cards and just attack enemies.
That came up. That's funny. When I was playing Galaxies the other day, that came up in our guild chat. Somebody was talking about that game.
Yeah.
And
I actually started playing that in early access, and it's a simple game, but it has some pretty deep tactics in it. It's very easy to get into. If you see a demo of it somewhere, give it a try. You might like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I did pick up, I haven't watched them yet because we were talking about them last show or a couple weeks ago about the Expendables. So I was surfing around Amazon and they had all three Expendable movies for $10 on Blu-ray. So I just got them in the mail like 2 days ago, so I haven't really sat to watch any of them yet. Because I really realized when I was talking to y'all, I only really saw the first one. I don't think I've really watched the second and third one.
So I was like, the second one.
So I was like, you know what? For $10, three movies, I'll watch them, give them a chance. And and then I bought a copy of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood also when I bought the Expendables. So I was like, you know, I'm really liking that movie the more and more I watch it. Because I found myself watching it a lot streaming on Stars, and I'm like, I'm watching this so much, I should just buy a copy of it.
Oh, dude, there's a Vudu sale on DC properties.
Oh, that was another one. I spent the $20 to get the Batman 1966 series. Because, man, that's 120 episodes, $20. It was worth it. And I've been watching. Man, it looks great in remastered for being a show that's, you know, almost 6 years old. And and you know, it's just fun watching those old Adam West Batmans. And I was like, you know, it's a high value on Vudu. $20, you get all 120 episodes. I mean, you can't beat the Blu-rays. They're still $60. So I did buy that too.
Yeah,
I have a weird thing about watching digital movies now. It's a lot in part due to when I was in the military, I used to deploy a lot. And I would take hard drives with me, and I would just fill them full of shit and everything. And then we would get into a hard drive swapping out there. So, like, hey, man, I got all 8 seasons of this show. Oh, I ain't got that. Well, what do you have? I got all 8 seasons of this show. All right, well, let's swap hard drives, and then, you know, we transfer it over and shit, and, you know, you build your collection and all kind of crap like that. You find all kind of weird porn and all kind of other crazy shit, too. But
yeah,
I would accumulate all these digital files, all these movies, and make these big-ass collections. Hard drive die, and I lose all my shit. And it happened on more than one occasion, so that's kind of why I got into collecting physical copies and shit. So I got like over 1,500 DVD Blu-rays in the house and everything, all because I don't want to lose my shit again.
I'm still the same way. I still buy a lot of physical too, and but I have some stuff digital, and
Yeah, the only time that I keep the digital copies, if it's a movie that I thoroughly enjoy, and one being the movie that we're talking about tonight.
Yeah. Well, I guess we can get into the feature film, which is Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. And this movie is 10 years old, which is kind of hard to believe. It doesn't feel that old that it's
the anniversary has passed.
Yes, and it was supposed to have some theatrical special screenings this August, but of course, COVID caused that to not happen. But there are, I think there are still some theaters having 10th anniversary showings of it where they're open in some states. And I remember the first time I saw this movie, I didn't really quite know what to make of it. But it's a movie that kind of grows on you the more you watch it. And it grows on you the first time you watch it too. Once you get about 30 minutes into it, you kind of accept, okay, this is what I'm watching. But we usually summarize the film. Man, Rob, you want to take a crack at that? You want to summarize Scott Pilgrim vs. the World?
It is a movie for those of us who have ADHD.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like a whole bunch of witty quips and everything. And if you like the director's style of a film, Edgar Wright, I believe it is. He's the one behind the three set of movies, the Cornetto trilogy is what it's called.
Yeah.
Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and I think At the World's End or something like that, or whatever. Yeah. I always get the title of that one wrong. But the same guy that made those three movies directed this movie, and it shows. You know, and it's just crazy, just little cut scenes. It's very anime-like in some aspects, and it's kind of like a video game. It's almost what I kind of feel like is almost a predecessor to the way it is, to Ready Player One, just without all the extra added characters and shit. It's his own universe rather than a universe of other things in one place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's based on a comic book in which the whole idea was the comic book was he got from, if somebody played so many video games in their life and they lived for a really long time, and all of a sudden in the future, would they learn how to like master those video game techniques in real life? That was the basic idea of where he from for Scott Pilgrim. And then of course he toned that down to the story we got in the comics. And I've never read the actual comic books, but I've heard that the movie is pretty close to what the graphic novel is.
Well, I am currently reading the books. I just finished book 5. I have not yet to read the last one, book 6, because I recently watched this movie. You know, it was just a random occurrence. I was going through my iPad looking at those digital downloads that I don't really like to hold on to, and I was just going through what I had in Vudu, which y'all was talking about it, because I got some weird notification in my email saying that, hey, you still got this Vudu certificate. So I just went through my catalog. Scott Pilgrim was there. So I had some time. I watched it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And then I watched it again right after that. So the person that I was talking to about the movie, you know, they was talking about they hadn't read the books. And I enjoyed the movie so much that, you know, had something in me inspired me to want to read the books. And then I got a 9-year-old that liked comic books, and this is comic book like. So once I got the box set in, I made her read a book first, and then I would read it after her. Then she would read the second book, and I would read it after her. So she just finished the 5th book. and I just finished the fifth book. Now I'm waiting on her ass to finish the sixth one. I was hoping I could have got it done today before we did this, because I can kind of give you a little more info or whatnot. But as far as the movie is compared to the book series is drawn out because the boyfriend or the evil exes, I'm sorry, the fights don't come continuously like they do in the movie. I mean, they come over time. There's some development in between each battle and whatnot. And what the movies did not do that the book does is explain shit. Because there was I don't know how far we're going to go ahead, but there was the conversation him and Ramona, Scott and Ramona had in the bar when he was talking about Kim. And he sat talking about how he had to fight 99 guys just to get to the one guy to save her. That's explained in the book. I mean, so it's not, if you never heard of the book, if you never read the books and you watch the movie, you hear that line, you don't know what the fuck he's talking about unless you read the books. And I like that shit because, you know, I watched it so many times and not knowing that they had books for it or this was based on the book. And I was like, I never understood what the fuck he was talking about. Is he just being a snarky asshole because he's mad at Ramona right now? Or, you know?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, you're definitely right. This movie is a lot happens very quickly in this movie, but not to the point in which you can't follow the film. It's very followable. And I think that's like the first time I watched it, there was so much going on. I'm like, wait a minute, wait, what happened now? Who's this character? What's this? It's very quirky. It's one of those movies where the actors, you can tell they're having fun making the movie too. Everybody's pretty good in the movie, I think. And Michael, and
both the captains in it.
Yes, both captains in it. Michael Cera, is that how you say his last name?
Yeah.
Cera. I've always felt he was kind of annoying, like in Superbad, he kind of annoyed me. But like, he works as Scott Pilgrim. I can't really picture anyone else playing him because he kind of has that goofiness, kind of lost in what he's doing, kind of look to him. So in this movie, he works a little bit better for me than in Juno or other films he was in, you know, like, and like, yeah. And that's, what's cool. It's like, oh, there's multiple cameos in this. We had the Punisher in this movie too.
Exactly.
Not just the captains, you know? Yes. And then,
Thomas Jane.
Yes. Which, the very first time I saw this, I didn't even notice it. I didn't see him until the second time I watched it. I'm like, oh shit, that's Thomas Jane. And then, and Superman's in this movie.
Yeah,
I mean, it doesn't stop, you know. And,
as a vegan, no less,
all over this damn movie.
And
yeah,
technically, she didn't do it till last year. But Mary Elizabeth Winstead is now the Huntress.
Yeah, so
exactly.
She's now a superhero too. Yes. Oh yeah, she has looked the same, and she's so good in what most things she's in too. But she has an age today.
And what's weird about the whole thing with her? You know, when I recently rewatched this movie, I seen her face and I was just like, wait a minute. I just seen you in two other movies. I just seen her in Gemini Man and freaking Birds of Prey. I was like,
yeah.
God damn, how did I not? Because you don't look different. So I was like, how did I not recognize you before, you know?
And can we also give a shout out to how cute Anna Kendrick is in this movie?
Yeah. Anna Kendrick, Aubrey Plaza. Yeah.
Yeah, and, Aubrey Plaza too. Yeah.
Which they whenever she uses the F word in the movie, they had to do the censor thing because otherwise they're going to get an R rating. And so it works in the form of this movie to do that because it's already all kinds of quirkiness going on. So let's just put the black boxes over their mouths and beep out the F word and audiences will buy it.
In the book, they did not have the F word, but they had ass and bitch.
Yeah.
And pussy.
Oh, I just wanted to make a mention. I want to make a mention that while I was watching this movie yesterday, I was like so annoyed with, you know, Michael Cera and his acting in this movie in the first third of it. And I was thinking, man, this is the second straight week we have to put up with a very annoying lead actor, you know? Because like last week we were doing True Romance with Christian Bale, and I think he's annoying. You know,
to me,
he's annoying. Christian Slater, I mean, not Christian Bale. Same thing. Yeah, True Romance. had a kind of annoying lead actor, and then this week had to watch a kind of annoying lead actor. And then I texted Mark earlier, it's like, hey, what movie are we watching next week? And he says, Master and Commander. And I'm like, oh, sorry, that's a spoiler. But I was like, oh, thank goodness. Like, if it was going to be a Mark Wahlberg movie or something, I was just like, no, I can't do this next week.
No.
You know?
But,
yeah.
You're right.
Mark Wahlberg fans.
That is probably one thing with Scott Pilgrim is the first, like, 20 minutes or so, it takes a little bit to get its footing. And once it gets to the point where he meets Ramona and the fights start happening, then the movie's like, it's actually a pretty great movie from then on. It's probably the first 20 minutes that it's kind of like, okay, it's almost like they weren't sure how to launch the story, but you had to get the background a little bit. But once he meets Ramona, this movie just takes off.
Well, and that's kind of the thing in the book. It's similarly paced, but at the same time, you got to think about the director that you had. Edgar Wright, Shaun of the Dead, similar pace in the beginning. You know, it was just an everyday thing. You know, it established a routine throughout the day of these characters.
And right.
Sean always get up, you know, take a shower, walk to the corner store, get his drink, come back. I mean, you had to establish that as a routine. So when shit started turning upside down and you try to repeat the routine, you see all the other hidden gems that he liked to throw into his movies. Because this movie had a lot of things, because they had a lot of references to each individual X and all the X's as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was pretty cool. Because was that Hot Fuzz? There was a whole bunch of buildup until, you know, a lot of nefarious things started happening. I don't really remember the third movie, but I mean, it's always a buildup with this guy. But
it was at World's End is the third movie, I think.
Yeah.
But in the book, I haven't seen that yet.
It's pretty good. It wasn't as memorable as the other two, but I mean, it's still a good movie.
Yeah.
And they reference all the other movies.
Right.
In a crazy little way and whatnot.
Yeah, and then there's a lot of cool background things in this movie too. Like he mentions that that one of Ramona's boyfriends punched a hole in the moon for her. And whenever you see the moon, there's actually a hole in the moon. Mm-hmm. I guess the star in her bag changes colors when her hair changes colors. And the drawing that he shows, have you seen this girl, was actually something that Michael Cera did on paper really quickly. And they actually were going to use a drawing from the comic book, but they thought that his little hand drawing was funnier, so they went with that.
Yeah.
So little cool little things like that. I like the video game stuff in this movie quite a bit. I think that's when I first watched it, that's what caught me. And I was always like, this is kind of cool. And it started making me think, why didn't they do like a Mario Brothers movie like this with like the animations and the coins falling everywhere? I was like, this is kind of neat. And, they actually had the Zelda theme in there in this movie, which Edgar Wright wrote a letter to Nintendo to convince them to let him use it. And Nintendo actually said yes, which is very rare for Nintendo to do that. Because, you know, as we know, Nintendo doesn't like to license their stuff out until recently. Now it seems like there's Nintendo Legos out now. They're starting to license their stuff out. So
yeah.
And there's Nintendo mobile games and shit. And
yeah. It's just
crazy. They starting that stick that was up here in the buttocks is starting to loosen up
and fall down.
Yeah, and there's going to be a Super Mario animated movie that will be coming out next year, I think.
Yeah, it's being done by Illumination.
Sony? Yeah,
Universal is Illumination.
The same
studio does Despicable Me.
Yeah, another interesting thing that you talk about, you know, how he asks permission for the rights for the Nintendo stuff and whatnot. I just watched Who Framed Roger Rabbit the other week, and I was like, wow, that was a Disney movie that had Warner Brothers characters in it. And I was just like, wow, why we don't get no shit like this no more?
Right. Yeah, that was how lawyers. They would fight with each other.
Lawyers. Yeah. Lawyers ruin all the fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
And so long, you'd only watched Scott Pilgrim one other time before this week.
Yeah, pretty much 10 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I watched it again, and it holds up pretty well. It's so interesting to rewatch this movie with all the actors that have built their careers, you know, as y'all talked about earlier. the fascinating snapshot of all these young actors in their careers from 10 years ago, you know, where they were at at that point.
Like, what year did, I'm looking it up right now, did First Avenger come out?
It came out 2011. 2011, yeah.
This is a year after.
So, yeah, so Chris Evans hadn't become that huge star yet. I mean, people knew who he was, but he wasn't Captain America yet. And, of course, this is years before Brie Larson would play Captain Marvel or be nominated for an Oscar like she was.
Which Brie Larson in this movie looks damn good. I don't know what happened. I mean, in this film, she looked amazing.
Yeah. And she also does a really good job in this movie. Somewhere along the line, her acting's fallen a little bit flat, you know. But I guess this is back before she got paid lots of money, so she cared more.
And she actually sung the song, but they didn't use it in the film, I don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then your boy, evil boy from number three, Superman, he actually played the bass in the movie, and they didn't use that either.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, Chris Evans, you know, that movie came out 2010. He went on to do freaking
Fantastic Four. Don't forget about that.
Oh, yeah, shit, that too.
Yeah, but Johnny Storm.
Another movie right before Scott Pilgrim that I thoroughly enjoyed and I watched most recently was The Losers.
Yeah.
That movie.
Yeah,
he was in that movie. He was, what is his name? He was Jensen. He was the tech guy.
Yeah, he was with that was with Jeffrey Dean Morgan and Zoe Saldana, right?
Yes.
The Losers? Okay.
Yes. Idris Elba was in there too.
Yeah.
Right before The Losers in 2009 was Push, a movie that I've only seen once.
Yeah, once was good enough, right? One and done.
I thought it was
It
was a good concept.
Oh, but
I don't know about the execution.
Yeah. He was also in the, I don't know if you mentioned this, was it Not Another Teen Movie?
Yeah.
Chris Evans?
Walking around. He was a bigger guy then. A little kinky in the face and everything. Walking around with freaking whipped cream on his crotch and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And Aubrey Plaza was, that movie was the first time I've seen her. Mm-hmm. And I've always, my first impression of Aubrey Plaza is like she had that look of a grouchy, dry, sarcastic looking type actor, and it's like, man, that girl has something. And then she went on to go in Parks and Rec, and then she did Legion.
Yeah. That was a real good performance by her. I like that.
Yeah, she's very versatile. She's very talented. She's been in a lot of indie movies. Did you see her Emmy Award acceptance speech a few years back?
No, I did not.
She said she accepted the award on behalf of the cast. And she says, I'd like to thank the Dark Lord himself and the blood of all the young innocents for this award. I'm like, and then the cast had to pull her aside, like, no, we're not trying to thank the wrong God here. You know, she has a very, very dark sense of humor, you know. So it's like, she's my kind of girl.
Yeah. Also, Chris Evans, I did not know this. When they first did the Ninja Turtle animated series, the film, TMNT in 2007, he voiced Casey Jones.
Oh, okay.
I did not know that.
Hmm. I never seen TMNT, you know?
I vaguely remember it. I know I've seen it at least once.
Yeah. There was who else was had a pretty good career since then? Michael Cera, you don't really see much of him lately.
Yeah, let's pull him up while I'm on the screen. Let's see.
Yeah.
He has two films coming up in 2021, Blazing Samurai. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be an animated thing or whatever because it says voice and everything. He's going to be in Lego Batman 2 as Robin.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is it doesn't say if it's a game or not, it just says video next to it. But there is a Scott Pilgrim versus the World water crisis. So I think there might be some charitable thing that they're doing, I believe. Shit.
Hmm.
Arrested Development.
Yeah.
2003 to 2019.
Yeah, that's right. He was in television during that time, so he wasn't in very many movies. Probably like some small projects here and there.
Yeah, because I'm seeing a lot of television series on his IMDb from 2003 all the way up to 2018.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of TV shows.
Jason Schwartzman, the main villain. He's mainly in a lot of independent films.
Yeah.
His mother is Talia Shire, who is most famously known as, on Godfather as the sister who got married and Rocky's wife.
Oh, okay.
Adrian. Yeah.
Man, when you said that name.
Yeah.
Her name or whatever, I was thinking about Ra's al Ghul and shit from Batman.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Let's see. Brandon Ralph, of course, was in that. And I liked his whole vegan shtick. I think that was one of my favorite fights. And I liked the way he was defeated, being tricked into drinking half and half.
Yeah.
So
that was in the book. In the book, the way that whole thing went down, it was a whole strung out event. Because they had the meeting initially after the concert. They were in the backstage area or whatever. And there was an additional character because it wasn't him that punched Knives in the face and knocked the highlights out. It was another girl that was a part of the entourage who had a bionic arm. And coincidentally, he was cheating on Envy with that girl.
Yeah.
And it was kind of playing into the whole thing about how Envy cheated on Scott and was his ex with that guy, and now she's getting cheated on with her friend with this. It's crazy. But yeah, that whole thing was strung out throughout I think like 3 days and whatnot. So a lot of these battles get strung out, and the space in between each battle is not as short as this movie is.
Yeah. Which version did you like better, the movie or the comic books?
I still like the movie.
Yeah.
But I like to have the knowledge of the books because those things when I first watched the movie is explained to me now. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing with why is this goofy ass character, Michael Cera, you know, Scott Pilgrim, why is he such a fucking good fighter?
Yeah. Why?
Because he is.
Oh, that's it? That's the only explanation they had? Yeah.
Because when the first battle, because I mean, it was revealed to us in the movie, you know, when they had that concert and you just bam, a cool block, bow, fucking uppercut and a kick. We was like, whoa, where the fuck this come from this guy? You know, in the book, that happens the same way.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of back dialogue from the side characters. It was like, wow, I didn't know Scott had that in him. And he's like, yes, Scott is the best fighter in the Providence. And that's how it was explained. There was no follow-up. It was a known fact amongst everybody except for, like, you know, Ramona or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I also liked how some of his battles were, you know, how he won some battles straight up fisticuffs and then he won some using his wit, you know? Yeah. So, yeah. Well, it sounds like they're still going.
But that was crazy too. It was just like, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to get into the books, because I just want to know, how does he acquire these skills?
Yeah. You know?
And it was just like, he's just that badass. That's the explanation. He's just badass.
Yeah. I want to share. Yeah.
His parents are introduced a lot in the books as well. I mean, we do not see at all in the film.
No. No mention of the parents in the movies at all. But you do get to see his house, which is nice looking. Hey, I want to share a story. I did meet and talk with Jason Schwartzman, the main villain, in person once. It was when Rushmore was in Houston, filming in Houston, and I actually had a conversation with Jason. He was a pretty nice guy and had a regular conversation over lunch, you know. And I forgot what we talked about.
He wasn't vegan, was he?
No, we were just eating regular stuff, you know, scrambled eggs and all that stuff. I think it was scrambled eggs. I don't remember. It's been like over pretty much 20 years ago, you know.
Maybe so, some gelato.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, yeah, it was mass catering, so, you know. But he was a pretty cool guy, very friendly person, you know. I really like his acting, so. I, but, in a way, I kind of wish that Jason Schwartzman was in the role of Scott Pilgrim, and then Michael Cera was in. If they reversed roles, I would have enjoyed it a little bit more. But you know,
been pretty cool. That'd have been nice, yeah, to be known in the window.
Because I think Jason Schwartzman, he could play that type of character. You know, he's a very versatile actor, and I think he could pull it off as Scott Pilgrim. And Michael Cera could be punched in the face for all I care as a villain.
to add on a little bit to X number three or whatever, in the book he consciously knew that he wasn't eating vegan.
Oh, yeah.
In the movie it was like he was a dumb dude and didn't know what the fuck was going on, you know, he did it mistakenly. But in the books he knew what the fuck he was doing. They had a whole conversation about it. He was like, you know that's not vegan, right? He said, yeah, but what the fuck are you doing? I got superpowers, you know?
Yeah. 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 So I don't know. I do love all the definitely the video game references here and there. So, and the Zelda theme, as Mark mentioned earlier. And
we had a wild Culkin in this film or whatever. Macaulay Culkin, bro.
Yeah.
Yes. plays Scott's conscious in a weird way. Yeah.
Yeah. He's his Jiminy Cricket.
Mm-hmm. And then, heck, we didn't even talk about the music in this movie. A lot of the music by Sex Bob, however you say their name, is was written by Beck. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Beck wrote all the music and stuff and taught them how to play it, which was kind of cool. You know. Mm-hmm. And
the soundtrack was pretty good as well. Yeah. They got three of them. They got the video game soundtrack because they had a video game for this movie that came out the same year, which is in high demand right now because it's hard to find, and the freaking publishing company is being a bitch about it and don't want to redistribute it. Even the author of the books, Brian O'Malley or whatever the fuck his name is, yeah, he was like, I've personally asked if they can re-release this game or do something with this game, and they ain't telling me shit. They don't even reach out to me or whatever.
Yeah. That's weird.
And that's another cool guy, Brian O'Malley, the creator of the books. He was on Instagram Live 2 days ago, and he had a color edition of the books because all the books originally came out in black and white. And there's a re-release. I think they did it most recently of, you know, all the books in color now. So he had the very first book and he was just going through it and he was talking about the whole process of him writing the stories and, you know, just talking about the book. And some of the story is kind of based on him and his past relationships. And one thing that I wanted to know that was not explained in the book or in the movie, when Ramona was rollerblading in the snow, the shit just melted away or whatever. So I was like, wow. I mean, what, she got some hidden ice melting powers, some defrost skates or some shit or whatever. I wanted to know more. That's why we read the books. So I looked at the Instagram live feed and he got to that part in the first book where he's like, yeah, you see Ramona going through the snow here, you know, melting ice. I mean, there was really no explanation for that. I just thought it would be cool. I was like, what the fuck, dude? So yeah, I mean, that's your author's mindset. So I mean, yeah, a lot of that shines through in the movie as well.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, authors definitely pull a lot of inspirations in order to get their story going, you know, and some people can do it. But yeah, I've never read the books, but it sounds interesting, you know.
He has a lot of panels in there that's taken up by effects. Like,
oh, okay.
Scene crashes, like boom, big explosions, and it'll take up like two pages of the book from his live feed. Once again, he's just like, yeah, I just wanted to eat up some space. I mean, I didn't know what to put here, so I just thought I'd take up some space. So I was like,
right.
Cool, yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. So how would you guys score this movie on the alphabet scale? A being excellent and, you know, F being eh.
Fuck tard.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give it an A because I have a fondness for this movie and I don't know why. And then
you know,
I went through reading the books and everything, and you know, it just peeling back different layers and finding out more things about these characters or whatever. I'm building that emotional attachment. So I mean, I'm gonna give it an A. It's a bias. Okay.
A. I'll give it a B+, mainly because I wish there was a different lead actor. I know it's this kind of a superficial thing, but a B+ is still a strong score for me because it's a very entertaining movie overall. And I think if they had casted a different actor and as Scott Pilgrim, I think I would have given it a higher score. So, but that's just my personal preference.
Maybe, man, because like I don't. I mean, you give up Jason or Schwarzer or whatever. How did ever say his last name?
Jason Schwartzman.
Yeah, Schwartzman. Yeah. And you give him up as a character, and I can kind of see it. But like, just sitting with this film and everything, it's just like I think it's all right the way it is. You know.
Yeah. Hey, B+ is a good score.
Oh, yeah.
So
it really is.
Yeah. But what about you, Mark? What would you score it?
My internet's acted up. But yeah, I give it probably a B+, A-. I think it's pretty solid. I enjoyed watching it again. It's still a fun movie, and I like it, you know. And I think it holds up well. And I think it's become a modern cult classic very shortly. So I give it a B+, A-.
Yeah, because, I mean, it did not make its money back at the box office.
No.
Through video on demand and, you know, people buying DVDs and all kind of stuff like that, it's become one of those films to where it had a second life, a second chance, you know, in the video market.
Yeah.
And it's done very well on Netflix, too. It's been one of Netflix's top streaming films, so it's definitely caught an aftermarket, too.
I
didn't look. I'd be curious what it came out around in 2010, like what its competition was. Maybe Inception might have been out around that time in 2010, you know, because I know it came out late July and Scott Pilgrim was in August.
Yes.
And, you know, so everybody was going to see Inception, so maybe it caused it.
2010, summer movie release. Let's see.
I forgot Tom Hardy was in Inception.
Yeah.
It was Toy Story 3.
Oh, yeah. Toy Story probably took all the monies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Toy Story 3, Expendables.
That took all the money, too.
Yeah.
Just one of those summers where Scott Pilgrim probably just got lost amongst the shuffle. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, it had.
I know I saw it on home video. I know I didn't see it in theaters.
Same.
So.
Yeah, I saw it on a home video too.
Yeah, because I mean, Toy Story 3 established. Expendables, that was something that had never been done before or in a long time with, you know, Sylvester Stallone and all these 80s and 90s classic action heroes in one film and shit. And it was just like, whoa, I got to see that shit. And then what else you said? Inception, you see buildings folding in on themselves and people floating in elevators and going inside of dreams and shit. Whoa! I got to see that shit. Then Scott Pilgrim. What is Scott Pilgrim? What is this shit? No, fuck that. I'm going to see Toy Story.
That's about sums it up. But a good movie, based on a cool comic that Rob is reading and recommends.
But shit, I mean, I'm still thinking about this damn movie though. And damn, it's just they established their relationship throughout the whole series, you know. So it's just like they hook up, and like the whole thing with knives is drawn out too, you know, like her slow descent into madness. Shit, she dating young Neil, and then young Neil break up with her.
Yeah.
And he date another girl that looked just like her.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Because there was a moment in the book to where Scott run up on him. He's like, Knives. Like, you're not knives. He's like, yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah. So, Rob, you have the notes for the top five annoying lead in movies, right?
I know what we're supposed to be doing, but do I have said content for said segment?
Yeah. No, if you don't, that's fine. You could just bounce off what we
tell him at the last minute.
That's good. Yeah.
Well, I do have one.
Yeah.
Might be controversial.
Who is it?
Vern fucking Troyer.
Oh, Vern. The little guy?
Goddamn mini me.
Oh.
Get on my goddamn nerves.
You know what? You know what, Rob? I'm going to spit on this grave, too. Patooey, I hate you, Vern Troyer.
God damn it. Rest in peace, motherfucker.
Oh, and rotten hell, too, while you're at it. No, I'm joking.
Dude, I mean, I did not enjoy him as an actor. He was annoying as fuck to me. But at the same time, I felt sorry because there was a picture floating around online, you know, because he has a lot of woes because of, you know, his stature and everything. Yeah. There was a picture. You know, I guess he was doing his own groceries. This motherfucker was dragging a turkey down the street, and it was as big as him. And he was just having a hard time. I was like, fuck.
Damn.
I was like, well, I don't know. I'm sorry.
Hey, it's America. You can say what you want.
That's right.
So, nothing compared to our president. So number five, I'll start off. Number five, I forgot the name of the lead actor, but have y'all seen Dark City?
Yes.
Okay. I think the lead actor in that show is miscast.
Rufus Sewell? Because,
yeah, Rufus Sewell. He's only been in that movie, right, as lead.
Ra's al Ghul?
Rufus Sewell. Yeah, that guy. He's a wet blanket. I'm sorry.
I love Dark City so much.
Dark City's a great movie, but Rufus Sewell, I don't think, is the right person to be leading that movie. But that's my first, my number five. What about you, Mark?
Wow, I didn't know Dark City was a remake.
A what?
Was Dark City a remake?
No.
IMDb, there's one that was in 1950. Oh, isn't that?
Yeah, but they're completely different movies. Yeah.
Never mind. Continue.
My number five is Hayden Christensen as Anakin Skywalker. He's the one thing that keeps the prequels from being great for me is Hayden's just not very good. He's just not very good. He's a little better in Revenge of the Sith, but not that much better. Luckily, the story saves him in Revenge of the Sith from being as bad as he could be. But yeah. I've always hated Hayden Christensen as Anakin Skywalker. When I hear that Leonardo DiCaprio turned it down and Paul Walker, George felt was too old, two guys that were much better actors than Hayden Christensen, it's always going to bug me.
Paul Walker?
Well, he would have been a better actor than Hayden Christensen.
Paul Walker?
Yes. The casting director wanted him as Anakin, but George said he was too old.
Whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
Paul Walker.
Yeah. No, I won't spit on his grave.
No.
Number four, I would have to go with George Clooney in Batman and Robin. I mean, he's fine in the action scenes and some of the jokey stuff, but whenever there's a serious scene going on, and
he doesn't take it seriously.
He's always smiling. Yes. It looks like he's always smiling in that movie, and it's like it's supposed to be a serious scene, but freaking Alfred is dying and he's almost smiling, you know. He's grinning. So that's my number four, George Clooney in Batman and Robin.
I got one. You know, I don't have a proper list, but I got a motherfucker that got on my goddamn nerves.
What?
And his name is Max Charles. He played what's his fucking name? He played, where is he? I was just looking at him. Max Charles, he played Zach Goodweather in the series The Strain on FX.
About
the virus and the city takeover and shit. He was the son of the lead character or whatever. And he got on my ever loving fucking nerves.
Why? Because he was whining all the time or what?
Exactly. He had no discipline. He didn't get the glare as a child and knew what the fuck was up. He triggered the apocalypse. He blew up a fucking nuclear bomb in New York City, which gave the vampires the advantage in the whole, spoilers, in the whole goddamn rest of that season and shit. I was like, you little bitch. All because he was mad that his daddy killed his mama, who was a vampire, so she was already dead.
Yeah.
But the master, the head vampire, he it's all a cohesive unit. So, like, you know, I'm the headmaster. I bite you, I bite you. And, you know, I have control of all your cognizance and everything. So you're just a mindless drone unless I bequeath, you know, more abilities to you. So, like, I can make you smarter. You know, I can just be like, here, come here, take some of this venom. And now, you know, you can talk again instead of just being a little vampire like that or whatever. So he tried to get the main character. So he used his wife. You know, he gave her, you know, let her be sentient again. And it played on the boy's emotions. So he thought she was alive this whole time when she was actually dead and a vampire and all this stuff. And he used that against him. And his daddy had to kill her. And then he was just like, ah, little whiny bitch boy.
Yeah. Well, Max Charles, I don't even know what he looks like, but I've never even seen the show, but I can only assume from your description that, yeah, that definitely does take away from the show. My number three is Christian Slater.
I didn't do my number four yet, man.
What's your number four then?
I'm not going to knock the Michael Bay films because they are what they are, but Jesus Christ, I hated Sam's parents the entire time. And maybe they're not the lead. Yes. As, you know, everyone wants to knock Shia LaBeouf. He didn't bother me in the Transformers movies. But his parents, good Lord, I just wanted to strangle him the entire time. It's like they were annoying. They weren't. I didn't find them funny at all. I was just like, they were just useless on screen to me the entire time they were in both of the first couple of films. And
those films didn't have a script. So there was kind of and a whole bunch of shit.
I know. But his parents it just bugged me. Yeah. So
Jumping the gun earlier, mine was Christian Slater. And but we kind of beaten a dead horse last week about it, so I'm gonna move on. What's your number three?
I got one more.
Okay.
Fucking Carl from Walking Dead.
Oh, that yeah.
Carl. You
know, I'm in the minority here, but I've never watched any episode of that. I was on the Game of Thrones camp.
He was another one. He turned into a whiny little bitch or whatever, and it just irked me to no end. He got all hardcore at the end, but when he started to come around as a character and you start to like him, dead.
Yep.
So, oh, yeah. Is that what happened? Spoiler alert.
Fuck him.
He's dead. Okay. But yeah. Go ahead, Mark.
My number three is Ben Stiller in pretty much any movie he's in. I've never liked Ben Stiller.
What?
I just don't find him very funny. I think he plays off people well, but I just don't like him. He has a punchable face. Meet the Fockers was kind of funny, but or Meet the Parents, I guess, would be the first one. But I just never really, I just can't get into Ben Stiller. Yeah.
Zach and Mary.
That's a surprise.
Or something about Mary was.
But not really.
Something about Mary,
Yeah.
I don't hate comedy. I just, I'm not the biggest comedy fan.
Well, number two, I have Jesse Eisenberg. I think he's a very annoying actor.
I mean, I thought him and Michael Cera was the same person for him.
Yeah, I know. That's my joke, too, because I have Michael Cera tied with him because they pretty much act the same, you know, all weird and effeminate. And I don't know. That's my number two. Jesse Eisenberg, the way he acts in Social Network, I just watched the trailer, and I made up my mind not to watch the movie because of,
That's probably his best movie, though.
Yeah, that movie needs
to be. I think he's pretty good in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. Yeah. Yeah, well,
I think Iceberg, like, I
the picture of him pulling in the turkey. Come on, man.
Oh, it's funny.
Now think about that. Think about this.
Yeah, he's pulling his own weight. Yeah.
No. Not even that aspect of it.
Yeah.
I agree. This is a fucked up picture. But think about the heartless bastard that went followed this guy and took this damn picture.
Take that picture.
Take it off, son of a bitch. He on my list too. Whoever took that goddamn picture.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like Troyer like that. But shit. Still, yeah. Look at that. Look at it.
I like to apologize to Vern Troyer for my remarks earlier. I feel really bad now just looking at that photo. I should be ashamed of myself for even saying all that stuff earlier.
I apologize to Vern Troyer's estate.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not being disingenuous either. I'm being genuine too. I feel bad about it. Okay.
And number two? I had I don't know his name, but the guy who played Napoleon Dynamite, I hated that movie so much. I found the lead actor annoying the whole time. I never understood why that movie was funny or why it made so much money, because I think it's stupid. I just don't get it.
The one-liners.
I guess, but yeah.
Pots.
That movie, I didn't like it at first at all. I'm in the same boat. But the more I watch the movie, the funnier the lines pop up to me. So, I don't know. I ended up liking that movie more and more. So,
the goddamn quesadilla.
Yeah. I could throw a football over those mountains. So,
yeah.
All right. My number one is Mark Wahlberg. I've never liked Mark Wahlberg. I know he's a tough-looking guy, but his voice, he's kind of like...
The guy.
I don't know. He's like a white version of Mike Tyson in a way, but I still respect Mike Tyson more. You know, so you know what I mean.
But he's been in some good movies though.
Yeah, that's still. That doesn't mean he's the best part of the good movies. You know, I mean, he's like, I don't know, man. It's like, I know he was in Departed, but he seemed like he was forcing himself to act good and Departed.
Well, shit, you know? He didn't really act in there from what I remember. He didn't even have any speech. He was just like, hey,
yeah,
did some shit, alright.
No, his voice isn't that deep, by the way.
Well,
you're giving him too much credit. It's more like, hey, what you doing? Anyways, Mark Wahlberg's my most annoying actor, you know, regardless of what role he's in. So he's just in it for the looks, personally. So damn, dude. Well, who's your number one, Mark?
My number one is the entire. It's anybody who's ever listened to the show knows this is no secret. The movie I hate more than any other movie I've ever watched. The entire cast of Tropic Thunder.
What?
I found the whole movie annoying. I hated everything in that movie. I don't like the movie at all. And I like Robert Downey Jr. and the actors, but just in that specific movie, I found the whole thing just to be... I hate that movie. I've gone on record several times. I don't really get satire as it is. Like, there's a running joke on the show that I don't like comedy. I do like comedy. Satire, I don't really... I just don't get it. And I'm not the only one. I've talked to other people that don't really like satire films either, and they don't find them funny. And I hate Tropic Thunder with a passion.
You know, what's the point of satire, right? The most basic essence of satire. You know what it is? It's speaking truth to power. That's of those in power. That's what satire is.
Right.
That's the point of satire. It's not trying to be funny. It doesn't have to be funny to be satire. Like, any kind of criticism, whether it's in a comedic form or dark humor or drama, anything that speaks to anything against, you know, anyone in power, that's what satire is. That's why Tom Cruise is, you know, the scene stealer in that. So
yeah, I did not know that was him.
Yeah.
Because you at that point in time did not know Tom Cruise to do no shit like that. So yeah. I wasn't, you know, I didn't even look at him in the face. I didn't really pay attention to it because, like, the first time that I seen the movie or whatever, it was just kind of like on in the background. So I seen this guy acting the ass, and I thought he was fucking funny. And yeah. I was like, ain't no way in hell Tom Cruise could deliver a comedic performance like that. So yeah. then I go back later. Goddamn, it's Tom Cruise.
Goddamn. Yeah. Yeah. But that's what satire is. Sorry, I didn't mean to be on my soapbox today.
Yeah, so
fuck you, your soapbox.
Yeah. It was Robert Downey Jr. He was trying to make fun of black people doing blackface or something.
Yeah.
Making fun of actors who are pretentious enough to try to do that. Yeah.
So you're talking about Christian Bale?
Yeah, basically.
Body dog, good for you.
Or Gary Oldman.
Oh, he like that?
In True Romance.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's a good actor.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't put him on the list. But
well, I haven't heard any controversy about it, so, you know, I guess he's still safe. So, Gary Oldman.
Yeah.
So, anyways, that's my five annoying. Yours is edgy, Mark. You're just going for the shock value.
That's right, damn it.
But that's cheating, though. You have to pick your number one, number one. Who's your number one, number one? For real. Not, you can't pick the whole cast. Because they all have had good movies under the belt.
Heck, I don't know. Now you put me on the spot.
I give you time. 2 hours, but I give you time.
I can't think of anybody that on the spot like that. So I'll have to come back to be continued.
You know who's annoying to me? I'll give you a freebie. Steven Seagal. Well, talk about a guy who folds it in.
Is he really an actor, though? He just sort of stands there and does stuff.
Yeah, he just stands there and breathes air.
And he got paid for it back in the 80s, you know, the 90s.
Yeah, but he still sucks in the last 20 years of his career. So I say 20 years because that's the last time he had a good movie. It was 20 years ago. Executive Decision, when he died.
What the hell is Rob Schneider doing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he was always pretty annoying in movies. David Spade. I always found David Spade a little annoying.
Did you see David Spade's latest movie?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, was it a Netflix movie?
Was it a Netflix movie?
It's a Netflix movie. But his was co-star in that film, oh boy, over the top. She might be, if y'all watch that movie, she might be in one of your categories.
For being annoying or what?
Yes, very.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That character, but that was the character's essence. So, I mean, I guess you can't really get mad at him. That's what the character is supposed to be. But, yeah, I was just like, fuck.
Yeah.
So let's do some news. See what we got going this week.
Did you say nudes?
Not nudes. The world's not ready for that. But some news. Well, this will make the females happy. Jensen Ackles is going to be in season 3 of The Boys.
I'm happy about that. It's not just the girls.
Well, you know, I just know the girls, yeah.
Who's and, Jensen Ackles?
He is
he's Supernatural.
Natural series.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I've been rocking with that show since I found out what it was. It's one of the cornerstones of me and my wife's relationship. She introduced me to it, and we just daggone bonded over it, and we watched it, and we just wait for it every time. And we sad because it's the last season, and then COVID came, and so it's prolonging it. So, I mean, we get to stay with it a little while longer, but
listen, let the series end. Do you, were they kind of running out of steam? Could you tell it was running out of steam? Or,
well, I mean, when you're a diehard, I mean, it can never run out of steam, but yes. To answer your question, it's just like I believe they've covered all they could cover with those characters in that series.
Because,
I mean, they've died and came back multiple times.
Yeah.
You know, one was possessed by an angel. One was possessed by a demon. You know, it was all kinds of stuff. They done tore through all the Bible characters. They done went through a whole bunch of mythological characters like Rougarou and werewolves and vampires and all kind of shit. So they hit the whole spectrum of supernatural.
Yeah. Anything you could think of in the human mythology, the history of mythology, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. They went with Norse mythology, Greek mythology, you know, Wiccan shit, all kinds of stuff. They've been through it all. The show has been running for 15 seasons.
Yeah.
So what I enjoy, because this is the very last season, what they've done is they brought back all the notable characters from all 15 seasons.
Oh, okay.
14 seasons previous. Because Jeffrey Dean Morgan was their father.
Yeah.
In the series. And you know, he went on to do other things and everything. His character died off. But they brought him back while he was still doing The Walking Dead to be in the episode. So yeah. It was crazy to see Negan in that world. You know? And then their mom died in like the first season or whatever. Like, she was dead when the series started. Then she came back in ghost form to help him in some other reason. Then, like, the last two seasons, she came back from the dead and was a playable character throughout the rest of the series. So they've been through the apocalypse. They've been to the future and seen another dimension and shit. So, I mean, this, they've done everything they can do. It's time to put a pin in it.
Yeah, yeah.
They even, this was a TV show. There was no literature before this that I'm aware of, but they made books from the TV show and graphic novels and shit like that. So, and I think they had an anime even from this show. I mean, they've done it all.
Yeah. Okay.
What's next on the news, Mark?
Why is Lawrence Fishburne not in the Matrix 4? Apparently even Fishburne says he doesn't know. They didn't ask him to be. And I started thinking about this, and because I remember right, at the end of Revolutions, Neo and Trinity died, and he didn't. So how are they in part four, and he's not?
Neo one, duh.
He's the one? Is that what it is? Yeah. But, you know, it kind of sucks he's not in it, but I'm still kind of excited for The Matrix 4. I want to see what they do with it.
But they haven't started filming, have they?
Yeah,
well, they started right before COVID, and I think they're fixing to go back to filming here real soon. Yeah.
So, yeah. Maybe it's a red herring.
Maybe so. That's maybe what I'm thinking. Maybe it'll show up in it somehow.
Or maybe like from what I don't know. You might know more than I do, but it's just an assumption at this point. Isn't like you know, the Bill and Ted stuff, you know, the John Wick shit, and now the Matrix 4 and all this stuff. Ain't that like his own little inner circle putting all that shit together? Is it like this is passion projects for him or whatever?
It feels like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's just his... like, you know, Keanu sitting around being Keanu, being cool as shit, looking at cyberpunk shit and whatever. It's like, dude, make Matrix 4, you know, just fuck it, I'll pay for it. You know, so like
I thought they were making it because the Wachowskis are about to end their careers and they need a home run before Hollywood stops hiring them, you know, because I feel like this is more of a Wachowski project, you know, so yeah, I don't know.
And that's
my assumption.
That whole Wachowski thing is just weird to me as well. They went from the Wachowski brothers to the Wachowskis, and I was just like, wow. So one transitioned over into a woman, then the other one just like did it too. And I was just like, wow, y'all is really brothers.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, I don't know.
No comment.
Yeah. It was odd. So Stranger Things.
Very strange. This is season 3, ain't it?
I'm sorry, what was he talking about?
Stranger Things.
Oh, Stranger Things. Yeah.
Season 3, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Or kind of season 4. There's been a lot of space.
Well, season 1 was 11 was being introduced. Season 2 she came back. So yeah, season 3 you're right. Yeah. Yeah. Did you enjoy it? What did you think of it?
Yeah, I like it. I like it. The end of season 2, I already knew what was happening because this is my movie philosophy. And since y'all do movie reviews, you can kind of, you know, validate my theory or not. If a motherfucker don't die on screen, if there's no evidence of a body, like he dead or whatever, that character is not dead.
Yeah. So
Hop, you know, spoiler, you know, there was the explosion in the mall or whatever. And they did not show him get blasted. They did not show a body. So I was like, that motherfucker's still alive. He's going to be in season three. And then they had the little tidbit at the end, the Marvel-esque post-credit scene to where, you know, they're in Russia and, you know, they was talking about an American in the cell or some shit like that. And I was just like, that's him. That's him. Yeah. My wife like, nah, he dead. I was like, nah, he ain't dead. We ain't see a body. We ain't see him.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, there's no way they're going to kill him anyway.
But, I mean, they already revealed the trailer for season three or whatnot, and he was alive, and he was on a chain gang working on the railroad.
Yeah.
But what was your tidbit? Did they announce a date?
Well, they announced that season four there was a lot of rumor that season four is going to be the end, but Duffer Brothers said, nope, we've got more planned. Four is not going to be the end. And they kind of let... You know, they're figuring out a way to start filming soon. A lot of rumor was they only had a couple episodes left to film when COVID hit, so that they were almost done because people believe that it was that this season was supposed to take place. The first season was last year's season one that was a July 4th?
Yes,
it was. Yeah, and that this was going to be a Christmas season, but I don't know if we're going to get it before Christmas or not. So maybe we'll get a date soon and maybe we'll get Stranger Things before Christmas time. But at least we know season four is not the final season. So,
well, Stranger Things have happened.
That is true.
Oh, look at that.
And then, lastly, DC Fandom is going on tomorrow. So by the time you guys hear this show, it will have already happened. And, we got a little bit of news from it this week. We got some teasers from Zack Snyder as they're going to finally put out a trailer for the Justice League Snyder Cut, which I'm excited to see what he does. The little teasers were kind of cool, you know, seeing a new look at Superman and Cyborg and some things like that. We got a look at the Batman's logo and poster from Jim Lee's art, possibly trailer this week or at least some footage. A Suicide Squad trailer might be coming tomorrow. And the biggest news of the week was Ben Affleck is going to come back as Batman for the Flash movie.
And Michael Keaton.
And Michael Keaton. Yeah.
See, since they did that Crisis on Infinite Earth series event, you know, with Supergirl, mm-hmm. Arrow, and the Flash on the CW, dog, they need to keep that momentum going because they brought back all the Supermans, all the Flashes, you know, and all these beloved characters from all different mediums of DC. Why won't they carry it over into the films or whatever? And I believe that they have the opportunity to correct the future of future DC movies and you know, kind of loop in, you know, stuff they did previous with this Flashpoint film and whatnot. Because, I mean, we got flashes of it in freaking the Justice League when he had that little dream or whatever and the Flash reached out to him and everything. That could be...
Yeah.
That's probably why they're going to loop in Ben Affleck into this next project because they're trying to tie it all together and freaking clean up this mess that they fucking made.
Yeah. Which I think you're right. I think they're trying to save. I think they realize they can salvage what they have. It's not too far off. So I think they're trying to do that with a bit of a course correction with some of these characters they have.
And I really have no problem with what they do because, I mean, they just.
Yeah.
They're just telling stories, you know. I mean, that's fine. But what I hate it, they get something good and they fuck it up,
right? And I actually liked Affleck as Batman. I thought he did a good job. So, exactly. You know, he was big and bulky, and you believed he could kick somebody's ass. And you had to like put a little belief on for Christian Bale. He's a little bit smaller. For Ben Affleck, you believe that this guy could kick somebody's ass. So,
and you sprinkled a little comedy on there. He's like, oh, I'm bleeding somewhere.
But that's it I have for news. So we'll see what comes out of DC Dome, Fandom tomorrow and talk about it next week, what trailers hit and what we get. But look for that online. Well, by the time y'all hear that, it would have already happened. So, but at least it's there. But I guess. From your internet. So before we get out of here, we usually preview next week's film, a movie that Long has been asking to talk about for quite a while, a favorite of his, and finally worked it into the show. and that is Master and Commander of the Far Side of the World.
Wood, Mr. Blakeney. Turn three times. May the Lord of Saints preserve.
Barber, barber, ahoy!
All hands down!
Just a broken arm, sir.
You're in very good hands. 7 weeks sailing, and he happened on our exact position.
Well, then perhaps he was looking for us.
Damn, he was good.
An act of war will cripple them.
With basic repairs, we can get home as we are.
We're not going home.
The power of nature will threaten them.
Our enemy has more than twice our guns,
more than twice our numbers,
and we are supposed to stop it.
Torn between fulfilling his duty.
Captain's not called Lucky Jack for no reason. Phantom or no, Lucky Jack will have her.
And the lives of the men he commands.
Steady!
He must face the invincible.
He fights like you, Jack.
A hunter becomes the hunted.
Well then, there's not a moment to lose.
Two feet 6 inches, sir.
The men would follow you anywhere. As a friend, I would say that we should have turned back weeks ago.
It's leadership they want. Strength. Find that within yourself, and you will earn their respect.
Take him out of the ship.
Take him out of the ship. Thank you, sir.
For home! And for the prize!
Stay afterwards.
Let's fly!
I will admit, Long, I only saw that movie one time. I don't remember a lot about it, so I have to rewatch it, but it's good timing considering Russell Crowe has about the only movie, brand new movie out in theaters right now with his unhinged, which is actually making some money being the only movie out.
And he's unhinged. I figured the reason why we're doing this is because last year, almost exactly last year, we did Last of the Mohicans, right? So it's kind of a historical / fictitious story. So I figured Master and Commander, it's a historical yet fictitious tale. So I kind of want to put a bow on that. So yeah, that's why we picked that.
And it's on Hulu right now for anybody that wants to watch along and stream it. So we'll talk Master and Commander, the Far Side of the World on next week's show. And before we get out of here, Rob, man, thank you for coming on and hanging out with us. Always a pleasure and always welcome.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the stats on your movie that's coming up next week. They made a grip of change. They had a budget of $150,000, and they made $25 million opening weekend. Total U.S. gross, $93 million. Overall, worldwide, $211 million. That's a lot of cheddar.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hour 40 and, movie.
It's one of my all-time favorites, too.
But, yeah, man, I appreciate the invite. I mean, I kind of busted my way in this bitch. You said Scott Pilgrim. Hey, win. Let me in.
Oh, like, hey, it's all good.
What was that that damn show? Eric Andre or whatever. I was on the, let me in.
thank you for giving me a break from Matt. No, I'm joking.
Yeah, he's Dallasin. Crabbing or some shit. I don't know who crabs in Galveston, but
you know what? It's just like, it's coincidental. People. that anytime that I'm a part of this, is which is this is only the second time, one of y'all motherfuckers ain't here.
That is true.
I think one of y'all is the secret identity of the other person or whatever. So that y'all can't never be in the same place at the same time when I come around or something. Or maybe I'm your secret identity. You know, I'm the alter ego.
Was Matt with us for Saving Private Ryan?
You weren't. Yeah, you weren't though.
I wasn't.
You had something come up at the last minute.
Yeah, that's right.
I think you had to go, you had to go help your dad or something. Yeah. It's like a last minute thing.
Yeah. Okay, so Matt was there.
I made all kind of jokes about you too. So I mean,
oh okay.
You can see the video evidence on my YouTube channel. You just search for 3R Show, and I got the whole thing recorded. We got a pre-show, and we got the show proper. It's all up on there.
Yep. Well, I think that is what happened. But yeah, Rob, man, you're always welcome. Anytime. Don't feel that you budged your way in there. You know, if you want to come on the show, just say, Mark, I want to come on the show. It's all good. And for anybody listening, always go to therubberradiopodcast.com for all of our show stuff and Twitter and all that good stuff. And give me 1 second, Waverly. And but that's it, man. That's all I got. That's, you know, thanks. Like I said, Rob, thanks for coming on, hanging out.
Thanks, Rob.
Scott Pilgrim vs. World, good fun movie. And until next time, as always, just go there and do it.
Do it.